acorns jumping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a suey nature, a suey nature thing. It's a suey nature, a suey nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 148, Boxing Day, Monday, December 26th, 2016. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Each week, I post photos and links to the things that I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. This episode includes the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, ever-expanding skill set, and gratitude journal. The back porch. I have managed to complete a few very special projects in December, and it's not over yet. So I'm pleased that I was able to stick with my goal of using December for a different kind of gift knitting. I like to knit patterns and knit with yarn that has been given to me over the course of the year or even the year before, and to knit without deadlines and just work on some things that I really want to do. And in some cases, they may end up being gifts, but I'm not trying to knit them to a December 25th deadline. And that's been really, really wonderful this month. In fact, there was also a great conversation for a previous episode about knitting for others and knitting for ourselves. And Kunstknit contributed this phrase, self-care knitting. I've heard on other podcasts this term selfish knitting tossed around, and I don't like it. I think it implies that the right way to go about knitting is to knit for others, and that if you dare to be working on something for yourself, that's sort of an aberration of the norm. And I mentioned on the thread that it really irks me because it goes along with a whole list of expectations that are particularly applied to women, that the way you should be doing it is to do for others, and it's not normal if you are doing it just for yourself. And I think this idea of self-care knitting, whether it's the object or the practice of knitting or both, is really a way that many of us care for ourselves and take time for ourselves. And I think it's a mistake to talk about it as selfish, even in a joking way. So I think that knitting for myself and knitting projects that are not gifts for others during the month of December really helps me stay centered and focused, and to just carve out some special time during a month that's very busy and chaotic. The first project that I finished was the Lonely Tree Shawl. This pattern was a gift from Melinda of the Yarnder Woman podcast, and I knit it with absolutely gorgeous Tamar Luster DK. This is a product I purchased from the Woolly Thistle, and I really adore this yarn. It is elegant and glossy. I mean, the term luster in the name is absolutely appropriate, but it's also very strong, and I think the combination works beautifully for lace. So this isn't delicate lace because it's a DK yarn, And the pattern is a very simple botanical leaf motif. I used the colors Valency and Lenner. Valency is a beautiful soft brown with just a tinge of purple or lavender to it. And Lenner is more of a charcoal color. I had two skeins of the Valency, and I began the pattern knitting on a US size 7 needle. After I joined the second skein, I shifted to an 8. There's no noticeable difference, but I feel like the shawl just grew a little bit more to those large dimensions that I was talking about by switching to an 8. I altered the bind-off edge of this shawl just slightly. It has a picot bind-off, but I wanted to add beads to the bind-off because I think the shawl is just so beautiful that I wanted to add just a little bit of sparkle. So I purchased some beads with kind of a purplish metallic sheen to them. And I looked up a bind-off that is a little bit more delicate. I wanted something that was just sort of a little nub against the edge of the shawl. And I have linked to the tutorial that I used on my Ravelry page for this project. And I used the dental floss method of adding beads. I like using a crochet hook, but because of the DK weight yarn, I found it difficult to get the yarn through the bead using the smallest size crochet hook that I have. I had a little bit of trouble. So with this magical dental floss method, it was very simple to apply the beads. And there's one every 5 stitches, there's a little picot. And I think it has a really nice profile along the edge. It's very subtle. And there's just a little bit of sparkle, and I really like the way this turned out. I achieved the big shawl that I was looking for, and it's warm. It will be incredibly durable and useful, and it's also very beautiful. I steam blocked the shawl, as I said, because I wanted to wear it, and I received a lot of compliments at work when I was wearing this shawl on Friday. So people definitely noticed, and I think the lace pattern is, it looks a lot more ambitious than it really is to pull off. Once again, this pattern is the Lonely Tree Shawl by Sylvia McFadden, knit in Tamar Luster DK on US size 7 and 8 needles. Next off the needles were the Collie Wobbles socks. This is a pattern designed by Emily Estrada of the Fibertown podcast, and the pattern was a gift from Emily. I knit these socks using yarn from Fat Cats Knits in the Wayfarer colorway. The Wayfarer colorway is a beautiful autumnal combination of very, very deep wine purple, some pinks and peaches, some leafy greens and some deep forest greens, as well as a little bit of ivory color. It's not self-striping, although the color repeats are pretty short, so it overall creates kind of a mottled effect with just little blips of pooling in some places. It's perfect for this Collie Wobbles pattern because Emily's design has some slipped stitches that are pulled up and down to create a little diamond motif, but that's only down the very front of the sock. And she has a really interesting little gusset at the bottom of the heel, and I had never knit a gusset like that. I enjoyed it very much. This sock also featured heel flap, which is incredibly durable. And then for the toe decreases, I tried rounding off the toe just a little bit to avoid that pointy kind of toe. So for the first several rounds, I decreased every other row in the traditional way that you do for socks. And then for the last few rows, I decreased every round until I had a total of 16 stitches, and then I Kitchenered the toe closed. I didn't have any problem with the little donkey ears on my toe closure. I think that becomes less prominent the fewer stitches you use to close your toe. Or maybe I just got a little better handling the DPNs. I don't know. These socks are a little bit small for me, although I did model them for some photos that I took because these will be a gift for my mom. She has a January birthday, or maybe I'll just hang on to them for Christmas next year. She will be receiving the Agatha socks this Christmas. We haven't had a family Christmas with my family yet. That's happening tomorrow. So I will, maybe I'll gauge her next pair of socks based on her reaction to the Agatha socks. But I know when I tell her about the chickens and the inspiration for the pattern that she will be intrigued. I was not able to finish these socks for a Christmas Eve cast on because I don't like having more than one pair of socks on the needles. I'm learning to be a sock knitter, but one pair at a time is good enough for me. And I did manage to finish these on Christmas morning. I had a few very quiet hours just looking at the tree and enjoying the stillness. And I was able to finish up these socks. Once again, that's Collie Wobbles, a pattern by Emily Estrada, knit in Fat Cat Knits Wayfarer yarn. And I used US size 0 DPNs. This was my second sock experiment because I was knitting with Knitter's Pride Carbons, which I had used for a previous project. And I was also trying out Blackthorn needles. These are both superior, lovely needles. I like the strength of them. I like the feel and the weight of both of them, although they are very different. I think I knit a little bit faster with the Carbons because they're just a little bit more slick. But certainly the Blackthorns are better when it comes to doing stitch patterns because they have a little bit of a ridge texture to them. And I feel that holds the stitches on very well when you're doing yarn overs and you're picking up stitches to do a little bit of patterning like on the Collie Wobbles. However, I think overall on the Blackthorns, the knitting is just a little bit slower because they have a little more grip to them. There's one more thing that made the knitting of these socks go a lot more quickly toward the end. And that is, I have to confess, I have never thought DPN cozies to be a necessary knitting tool. I've even in my own mind, not out loud, but in my own mind, I've been a bit dismissive that you would need covers for your DPNs. But after putting these in my handbag and everything knocking around for a couple days between knitting sessions, there were many times when I pulled a sock out and one needle had slipped out of many stitches. It wasn't terrible to put them back on. Stitches did not drop all the way down to the bottom of my sock or something like that, but it just really slowed down my progress on the socks. So I went on Etsy. I looked up DPN cozies and I bought a beautiful set of cozies with queen bee patterns on the fabric. It's gorgeous. From Amanda Makes Yarn. And I confess when I placed my order that I had previously been very disdainful, and she was very understanding and wrote back, "It's okay. These will change your life." They arrived and I've been using them, and it is very nice to pull a sock in progress out of my knitting bag and for everything to be perfectly on the needles, just the way it was the last time I was knitting. I think it would maybe not be so necessary if I were just storing my knitting in the ottoman I use and it would just be untouched until I picked it up again. But carrying around a sock project in my purse, you know, crazy things happen, and I am very pleased with my purchase, and no longer will I be dismissive of needle cozies. The front porch. I've been thinking about some goals I have for myself in this coming year, and one goal I have is to work on a few design projects within the parameters of my regular knitting. Previously, my technique for designing something has been to stop everything and just focus on that design. And usually the time I have available to do that is during my summer holidays. But this year, I would like to try working on some design projects within the scope of other knitting and other crafting that I do. I will also be continuing my spinning of Eloise's beautiful Shetland fleece. I divided the fleece that I have from Eloise into 5 different categories according to the prominent features of the lock structure. And I came up with 5 very different types of fiber. And so by spinning these each separately, I'm able to really take a look at all of the different elements and aspects of these locks. Currently, I'm on group number 3 of 5, and I am spinning all of this fiber from Rolex that I've carded myself onto a Scottish spindle called a Jalagan. It's a whirlless spindle made out of maple. I've talked about it quite a bit in a previous episode. And the more I use this spindle, the more I enjoy it. I will be using my wheel to ply, and I haven't plied any of the yarn. My idea is to spin all of this yarn into singles and then ply it all at once, but I'm going to keep those 5 distinct types. I think the yarn will look distinctly different, and I think it will also feel different because the different parts of this fleece have really remarkably different qualities. I'm surprised. And then I think I will maybe leave 1 or 2 undyed. At least 1 I will leave undyed, and then I will work on natural dyeing methods for the other 4. And these will be part of the color work in another version of the Bresse dress. So this is a year-long project, but it's still in my sights. I'm still enjoying working on it, even though I haven't talked about it in a couple episodes. And I am learning a great deal about Shetland as I spin. The final project on the front porch today is the project I will begin for the upcoming Taproot Make-Along. It begins on January 1st. Will you be joining me? Folks have been writing about what they're going to make during the months of January and February from the Taproot magazine hands section, any issue. There's cooking, crafting, there are knitting patterns, crochet patterns, all different sorts of things that you can do. You can make a shelter, you can make kind of a teepee appears in one of the issues that's absolutely darling. All kinds of making, and I think it will be really fun to do it together, to use hashtag TaprootMAL on social media so that you can see what others are doing, and to post on the thread in the Yarns at Yinhoo group for a chance to win some of the prizes that have been contributed. I will be knitting the journal cowl. This is a pattern from issue 19 by Beatrice Perrin Dolan. It is a stranded knitting pattern, a cowl knit in the round and then joined end to end in a big tube. There are many different stitch patterns having to do with travel and natural landscape. You can also create your own. I have chosen a beautiful color palette from my stash. The color palette is from Elemental Effects. There's berry, watermelon, ochre, kind of a nutmeg color, merlot. I also have an ivory. I think that was not from Elemental Effects. It's from something I had left over. And then the main color or sort of background color for all of this will be a gorgeous natural color of Cornish Tin 2 from Blacker Yarns. I wound this yarn yesterday. It is absolutely gorgeous. I can't wait to cast on this project. I believe I will be using US size 4 needles. That's what's called for. And I will be taking my inspiration from a collection of Icelandic folklore that I've already been reading before bed. Meadow of the Woven Road podcast was very generous with some recommendations of Icelandic folktale collections. I purchased one that's kind of a scholarly approach. It has the tales, and then it talks about similarities with other Nordic tales and other European kinds of folk and fairy tales. And it talks about similarities and differences, what is uniquely Icelandic, what seems to have been influenced from other literature, and in turn, how Icelandic folktales have had an impact on folklore in the rest of the world. It's incredibly engaging, and what I plan to do is to take some of the motif inspiration from that reading, whether it means to replicate some of the patterning that the designer had in mind or to create a little bit of stranded colorwork design of my own. I'll probably alternate between those two things. But I think this will be a really beautiful way to begin the new year, and I look forward to knitting along with all of you who have chosen knitting for the make-along and from seeing all the other crafting that you plan to do. I love cooking from the recipes in Taproot magazine. In the most recent issue, there's a recipe for homemade marshmallows. I so want to make those. Sometimes I buy handmade marshmallows from our local health food store. They're incredibly expensive, but they're so good. They are nothing like commercially made marshmallows. And I think that would be such a fun treat. So join me, won't you? Join in the Taproot make-along and join in the conversation as well. Ever-expanding skill set. I have not risen to the challenge of hashtag power pantry with onions this month, although I love cooking with onions. I just haven't been doing that much cooking at home this month. It's been a lot of meals on the go, a lot of dining out. I just really haven't focused on cooking the way I normally do. I hope it's not a trend. I really do enjoy making a lot of the food that we eat. Just hasn't worked out that much this month. I was able to make my absolute favorite appetizer for our Christmas Eve celebration. We have kind of an open house with family and friends, and I love to take 3 or 4 onions, slice them very thinly, and saute them very, very slowly in my cast iron skillet until I only have maybe a cup or so of onion. It's so sweet and delicious. And then I use little already frozen phyllo pastry shells, and I just fill them up, pop them in the oven to bake for about 10 minutes, and serve. I think it's so much greater than the sum of its parts, and I was tickled that there were still a few left after all of my guests went home. So I saved those, and I'll be heating them up to enjoy sometime later in the week. Other than that, I thought I would share a tip that I've used with onions. I don't know if it's just your tastes and your sensitivities change a little bit as you age, but lately raw garlic and raw onion are just very offensive to me. I never felt that way before. I just feel like if I eat that, I kind of taste it all day. It doesn't affect my stomach very well. And so I've had to think about ways to sort of tame that down a little bit. And one thing that I do, which I find to be very effective, is to dice onion or dice garlic that I would otherwise use raw. Dice it very, very fine, and then put it in a little dish of lemon juice for about 10 or 15 minutes before adding it to my recipe. It takes the bite out of that, and it just kind of cooks it, chemically cooks it a little bit, and makes it much more pleasant. Depending on how sensitive I'm feeling, I might drain the onion or garlic from the lemon juice and then use it. Or sometimes I'll just toss in the whole thing, not just the onion or garlic, but also the lemon juice that it was sitting in. And it adds a little bit of zip without that bite of the raw onion. So I don't know if anyone else uses that tip, but I've found it to be very effective, especially in salad dressings, salads, things where I don't really want to add heat to the onion, but I want to take some of that bite out of it. Because I've been behind in my cooking with onions this month, it's caused me to question whether or not I should continue hashtag Power Pantry in 2017. If I can't keep up with it, I don't really feel right about hosting this expansion of a skill set every month if I can't keep up with my own thing. But maybe this is just a little blip in my performance and I'll return to normal. I don't know. One thing I had been thinking about was in 2017, instead of selecting an ingredient for each month, to try a cooking technique. Like, I was thinking of making January the month of the casserole, and that we could really try experimenting with this out of fashion sort of dish and to see if we can make it hot again. Or maybe some of us have never really given up on the casserole and we're still making our tried and true casseroles. One thing about them is people always love them if you serve them, even though they might be a little bit dismissive about, oh, casserole, you know, it's not glamorous food. But if you have a casserole at a covered dish, it'll be gone, guaranteed. People like it. I think there's something very comforting about it. I don't know. Let me know what you think of this, if it's types of dishes or cooking techniques like saute, broil, poach. Maybe that could be our ticket for 2017. I'd love your feedback. Gratitude Journal. 2016 is coming to a close, and I find myself incredibly grateful for your listenership and your participation in the Yarns at Yinhu podcast. I have enjoyed working on this podcast for several years, and your continued responses and ideas, your questions, they really keep me as enthusiastic about making this podcast as I was when it first began. And it's really become an important part of my life of making and my feeling that I'm part of a community that's something other than where I live and where I work. I think that's very fulfilling for adults, and I am certainly very grateful to be included in your community. There will be one final episode. It will be a short one for 2016, and this episode will be all about the upcoming Knit Local Getaway in April 2017. It's not a regular episode. and I look forward to joining you again in the new year with episode 150. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great holiday season and a happy new year.
Acorns jumping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves lay down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a sweet nature, sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. Chipmunk on the lawn, six turkeys up in munching like fat hogs. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine. A mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine. thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing.